to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It is the You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen. He's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, and I'm Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today. Along our line of affiliates, also on iHeartRadio Talk. We're on iHeartRadio Talk now. This is a great way to get all your information totally geared to you and what you're interested in. So you can add Radio MD. All the Radio MD shows are on this innovative new platform. Add Radio MD and You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. This is a news and update section you can customize. Go to iHeartRadio.com, download the app, or use it on the web. When you go to the computer, on the internet, click Talk in the main menu, then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. To reach Dr. Mike on the air, on the phone, 877-711-5211, or udocs@gmail.com, youdocs at gmail.com. Dr. Mike, good to talk to you again, our guest and topic at 35 minutes after the hour.
Great talking to you, Joe. Our guest and topic is on childhood depression, how to manage it. It's obviously in the news recently because of the stabbings in Connecticut, the beating of an 87-year-old woman in California by a teenager. Many of these things are thought-related to teenage depression and mental problems in the teens. The author, Deborah Serrani, is, in fact, one of the real, true experts. She's the woman behind, if you will, Ask the Therapist, a question-and-answer program on both the web and on email, is an expert therapist for the Dr. Oz Show. So she's going to talk to us about what we should do, what you should do if your child, grandchild, or you even a friend's child has, in fact, exhibited any of these problems, or if you worry about these problems and what you can do about them.
She speaks from experience. She descended into a debilitating depression when she was young, and she attempted suicide when she was 19 years old, and the fallout from this depressive episode required her to take a medical leave from college to recover. So she speaks from experience, and she grew out of her experience of being a psychologist who specializes in the treatment of pediatric depression. Dr. Deborah Serrani, the book is called Depression and Your Child. It's a guide for parents and caregivers, and she's our guest at 35 minutes after the hour in this hour on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. In the meantime, a lot of really, really interesting, fascinating medical stories this week that will occupy a lot of our time, and something for everybody here. How about the FDA announcing some regulations on e-cigarettes and even some other tobacco products, Dr. Mike?
Well, this is interesting. All the tobacco products that are unregulated, and apparently there are a lot of them, so I didn't realize how many were unregulated. But in fact, the data is that the FDA has announced they will fall under the, and it's interesting, I didn't even know that there were two different sections. So under the drug section at the FDA, they have regulated the therapeutic use of e-cigarettes. That is, e-cigarette makers claim that their e-cigarettes are helpful at getting people off of cigarettes. That claim means that e-cigarettes for that usage falls under the drug usage. On the other hand, everything else that is using e-cigarettes for pleasure, etc., would fall under the Center for Tobacco Products under the new regulation. And it turns out there are all hookah, etc., all of the pipes, all of the other stuff is not, in fact, prior has not been regulated. Well, now it is going to be regulated in a very light way. That is, they have to register with the FDA and disclose the product and ingredient listings. So we've never had what are the actual things on the, if you will, what are the actual things on the, in the e-cigarette. So they're going to have to say, in other words, if it's got propylene glycol, as many of the liquids do, which is a toxin, they've got to disclose that. They can only market their products after they've been reviewed by the FDA. They only make direct and implied claims of reduced risk if the FDA confirms there's significant and sufficient scientific evidence to support those claims, and marketing the product will benefit overall health, and they can't distribute free samples of their products, especially to minors. So this is a very basic change. Many of the people in the health community said that the FDA is letting e-cigarettes off very lightly. But in fact, if you look at this, it's the start of just doing something to protect the public in case these things prove toxic or in case these things are used to addict youth, as it appears. You know, the fastest growing group of people using these is in the teenage years before they can buy cigarette products. So it's thought these are used to addict kids more than anything. And that's what the data set so far shows.
In your opinion, does the research show definitively the benefits or lack of benefits of e-cigarettes? In other words, do we have conclusive information that e-cigarettes are good or e-cigarettes are harmful?
We don't have enough data. The data that is coming in, initially you'd say, well, they've got to be safer than tobacco. But in fact, the early studies now are showing that they do as much harm to the lung, that is, smoking these does as much harm to the lung as smoking tobacco in causing inflammation in the lung. And if they cause inflammation in the lung, which is a surprise to us, we didn't think they would do that, but if they do that, then they may cause inflammation throughout the rest of your body and be as harmful as cigarettes. So we just don't have enough data. Last week, we told about a new study that was out last week by UCLA researchers showing that, in fact, the products of e-cigarettes, when smoked and they exposed mice to them, smoking with e-cigarettes versus regular tobacco smoking, and they did it in cell culture, that is, in vitro as well, showing the same malignant changes, that is, the cancer towards cancer changes in DNA, both in cell culture and in the mice. So that was another very surprising harm that these had shown. So we're worried. You know, I had prior said that if the FDA banned tobacco and just allowed e-cigarettes, we'd be much safer as a society. These data are throwing that into my statements into question, because it may be that e-cigarettes aren't any safer than tobacco products. And in fact, one of the interesting things is there's some data on marijuana causing cardiovascular problems in France that just appeared this week, too. So we've got both marijuana and e-cigarettes under question this week.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if it's going to be more difficult if they wanted to ban tobacco. As difficult as what we're fighting in the drug war, I think that's another issue that gets involved in politics. Though there's a political element to the tobacco, banning tobacco, with the tobacco industry a heavy contributor to political campaigns and whatnot. So I think that is a very touchy subject and a very difficult subject to tackle if indeed they want to go that way. Udocs@gmail.com, UDOCS@gmail.com to join the show. Coming after the break, we'll move on with some of the other top medical stories of the week. What to do about that pollen vortex? How about that pollen vortex? Spring allergies are here. And spring is here. That means we'll talk about the food environment of youth baseball. You know, the snack things that the Little Leaguers have before games or after games and during games. That'll be coming up after the break. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. We've lost Joe for a few seconds. We'll get him back. One of the stories this week was on what you can eat at a youth baseball game. So they looked at kids between the ages of 10 to 18, and Bridget, what do they find?
So they found that the choices, the food choices among the parents and the children at youth baseball fields was less than healthy. They observed a lot of high-calorie food items that the parents were bringing for the children, and that included french fries, candy, and cookies, and a lot of the beverages, or the majority of the beverages, were sugar-sweetened beverages. And 90% of the food and beverage items had been purchased from the concession stand. So the researchers from the study were from North Carolina, and they concluded that while it's very beneficial for kids to be engaging in physical activity and sports like baseball, that it doesn't warrant increasing kids' intake of unhealthy food, and that this kind of food environment at youth baseball could set these kids up for poor nutritional habits, if that could contribute to weight problems in childhood or even adulthood. And so that's just another example of how the food environment is constantly influencing how children and their parents are eating. And it was interesting that they mentioned that they highlighted the sugar-sweetened beverages, because that ties into another story that came out this week from the Obesity Society, which stated that they are concluding that sugar-sweetened beverages contribute to the obesity epidemic in the United States, which isn't anything new, but they conducted a large review that showed that in order to help children in particular reduce their weight problems, that it was necessary for kids to try and avoid sugar-sweetened beverages and to consume more water. So for these young athletes, like the baseball players or any sport, it's really important that kids are drinking water and not soda after they're playing.
So the message was, and Joe, you quoted a really good, if you will, TV show, Raymond, if you will, who did something relating to this on the TV show and seemed to enjoy it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, their kid, Ray and Deborah's boys, played basketball, youth basketball, and the kids were, they were small, 5, 6, 7. And it was a responsibility, and it's typical of this, whether it's baseball or soccer or, basketball, for every parent or parents to bring the snack, right, for every game. And they all, that way, if they play games, they would have a snack, at the game, after the game, to enjoy. And Deborah brought all the kind of snacks we're talking about, right, the sweetened beverages and, whatever they had. And they had a coach who was very finicky about what they brought. He was very health conscious, very health oriented, and he wanted the super healthy foods for these kids, and had a run in with Deborah about it. She didn't agree that the kids would eat it, and lo and behold, the kids wouldn't eat the healthy stuff. They wanted the typical stuff that parents probably bring to these games, but it was just a kind of a back and forth between her and this health conscious coach. And I guess, Bridget, you said that's pretty typical of what goes on. I mean, these are the kind of things that these parents bring for these kids for these ball games, for these sporting events.
Right. And the more that it's normalized, the more the kids expect it, and the more that they look down, they frown upon the healthy foods. Because if they're used to getting the Oreos and have in past seasons, and the parents are enabling it, then if someone's bringing in oranges, they're going to be like, where's the Oreos?
Well, and it's probably now, what really you about performance that, it's probably hurting the performance
ahead,
of the kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge challenge that comes down to changing social norms. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, and Joe, you were talking about all the unhealthy food items that are offered at ballparks. People come to expect it, and kids are just the same.
Hey, Mike, do you remember drinking, when we were kids, drinking a lot of Kool-Aid? Remember Kool-Aid and, Hawaiian Punch? How much sugar was packed into those?
It
was just crazy how much.
Back in those days. Well, that's why we all have, those came in the era that we went. And prior to that era, in the 50s, when you look at atherosclerosis in kids, that is up to the age of 18, In studies that were done in the 1950s, 10% of us had atherosclerosis. Since those sugared beverages came in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, that's when Kool-Aid, et cetera, came into being. When they've looked at atherosclerosis, it's now 90% of kids under their teen, in their teen years, have atherosclerosis, the fatty streak starting it. And it's probably mostly caused by the sugared beverages and excess sugar in our diet now.
Yeah, we just drank all that. We drank Kool-Aid and had the Hawaiian punch and did a lot of that. Before we go to the break and the guest, I want to bring it's allergy season, Dr. Mike. What is the pollen vortex, and what do you do about it?
Well, this is interesting this year because there is so much, if you will, there's been a late pollination season. And what do we mean by that is because it's been damp and cold, we have not had as much pollination of the plants due to that coldness. But now the appearance of both warm and dry weather at this time seems to be causing increased pollen. And so I learned a couple of interesting things we should do because of that. And one of them is that when you come home, you wash your hair. And you say, why should I wash my hair? Well, in this pollen vortex, a lot of pollen settles in your hair. When you go to bed without washing your hair, that pollen is transferred to your pillow, and you breathe all that pollen in, which is why you've got a stuffy nose in the morning. The other reason, of course, is that the mites that are inside your pillow put out allergic compounds. So that's why putting a 1-micron pillowcase or a latex pillow cover is one of the solutions. Another thing which I had known about was whenever you come in your home, take your shoes off as soon as you get in your home, because that'll decrease the chance of your pollen being in the home. So let me review. 8% of us have seasonal allergies. This season looks worse for symptoms because of all the pollination at right at the same time. So, and the two easiest ones, take your shoes off and wash your hair. Take your shoes off when you enter, wash your hair. And then if you're still having a problem, talk to your physician or think about an over-the-counter antihistamine right at bedtime or in the evening so that you can sleep through the night with relatively symptom-free.
I talked to a sleep expert on my morning show this week, and one of the other suggestion he made was to, for some reason, take a shower at night before you go to bed. Also, don't change clothes or get dressed in the bedroom for some reason.
Yeah, so that
I told him
the shower at night is the same reason I have, is washing your hair is a very good thing to get rid of it. And changing your clothes, if you're going to change your outer clothes, change them immediately on coming into your home. You've got a bathroom near there or something, change them in that so that the rest of the pollen which is on your clothes doesn't spread to your bedroom.
We'll be back. Radio MD, stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Deborah Serrani is an expert on a variety of psychological issues. She's a share care expert for Dr. Oz. She writes for Psychology Today, among many other publications, and has worked as a technical advisor for the NBC television show Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And she's a licensed psychologist in practice for over 20 years. Her book is called Depression and Your Child, A Guide for Parents and Caregivers. It's published by Roman and Littlefield Publishing Group. Welcome to the show. At what age in a youngster's life, what's the earliest age that someone can experience depression?
Very good question. And believe it or not, we actually see depression in babies. So as young as just a couple of months old, we can start detecting this disorder.
A couple of months and you can detect that? How are you able to do that? That's pretty interesting.
Well, you know, up to 1 out of 40 babies, a study has shown that 1 out of 40 babies can develop the illness of depression. And the way that we see that, as we do in most children, is through a lot of behavioral symptoms. Depressed babies have poor eye tracking. Their reflexes are very slow. Their cries are not as robust. And, you know, these are babies who've been cleared and checked for any kind of medical reason. So, you know, they can kind of fall into a depressive state if perhaps their caregivers aren't attuned to their needs. And basically what we're really saying is that we're pre-wired genetically, many of us, for mood disorders, and it can be detected very young, and if we can interrupt the trajectory of the disorder, there's great room for healing and for a life of great hope.
That's excellent. And here is Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
Now, this started, Dr. Deborah, and we should say your website is Dr. Deborah Serrano, and let's spell that for people. It is D-R... Is there a punctuation with a period there?
No, just serani.com.
So it's Dr. D-R-D-E-B-O-R-A-H-S-E-R-A-N-I.com for
That's
the
right.
book Depression and Your Child.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I'd say to send us your email questions, and the best question would get a book. For some reason today, I cannot get my udocs@gmail system working, so I apologize for that. We won't be doing that, but we will. We have a couple questions that were emailed in advance. But I'm more interested in, you said as early as 2 months, how much do you think that depression is playing in the use of more drugs in children? I read an article recently that more than 10% of boys in grade school are now getting stimulants of one form or another to treat ADHD or ADD or behavioral problems. How much of that is acting out relating to depression? Is there any data we have on it, Deborah?
Well, I'm not very familiar with the component of ADHD and depression. But I will say that most kids who are taking any type of prescribed medication do run the risk for having a higher incidence of anxiety and depression. So it sounds like that study in a ballpark figure about 10% may be spot on in saying that we do see an uptick in kids who struggle with a secondary or a secondary issue in a mental health way, like with anxiety or depression.
And you list anxiety and depression together. Are they forms of the? Do they both have the same origination, or are they different? And in other words, are these really very different diseases, and we just link them because it's something that isn't normal mentally? Or are they related to one another?
They do have different structures. Those of us who are hardwired for anxiety disorders, and there are those of us who are hardwired for mood disorders, but there is an interplay between the two. About 15 to 20% of those who have depression will also have an anxiety component. And similarly, those who struggle with depression can also have an anxiety component with it as well. So that's why a lot of the SSRIs and SSNIs kind of try to address both of those issues, but they are quite different in their genetic and neurobiological underpinnings.
Now, what is the usual age? I heard that you can diagnose this as early as 2 months. What's the usual age this comes to four, and how does it present? How should parents try and find out, hey, my child has a problem with this, and we can get help and help them? And I assume, and you're going to have to tell me this again, but is that right? The reason to intervene or the reason to make the diagnosis is intervening does make a difference in the child and family's life.
That's right, it does, Dr. Mike. I think most kids who get diagnosed with depression tend to be in their teenage years, but we do see a significant amount when they enter the standard school program. So about 4% of preschool-age children and 5% of school-age children meet the criteria for depression. So there are a number of ways for parents to keep an eye out for this. Four very basic ways, which is to look at behavioral changes, physical changes, emotional changes, and cognitive changes. And I can elaborate on that if you like. And to make sure
let's go and talk first about the four ways. So physical changes. Go ahead and let's go through the four different ways. And we may run into the break and come back, but it's such an important problem. That is, one of the questions we got was, how do I know if my child's depressed or acting out? Or is it just that my child wants to try drugs and that's why he's acting depressed or reticent or goes into his room when I don't give him permission?
Well, the answer to that question is duration. We want to see these consistently different kinds of behaviors at least 2 weeks in duration, not just here and there. And these four areas really break down quite nicely, which is any behavioral change that's sudden where your child is restless or withdraws or is clingy or isolates. And this isn't something that happens, you know, like I said, here and there. This is something that's almost predictable, almost a structured behavioral change that almost feels out of the ordinary for your child. And most children, unlike adults, present with a lot of physical symptoms of depression. They don't have the language skills to express their textures of their emotions. So sometimes we see kids with a lot of stomach aches, headaches, lethargy, fatigue. Sometimes they don't eat well, or they don't sleep well, or they're eating too much, or they're sleeping too much. So again, this physical change, you need to see it for a long duration. The emotional changes of sadness, loss of interest. Many kids report feeling bored. They don't really understand how to express that feeling. So they'll say things like, I just don't feel good, I'm bored, I'm tired. And then, of course, we look at cognitive changes, one of the most serious of all. This is when negative thinking comes into play. Kids will say that they're stupid or I'm not smart or you'd be better off without me. They have great difficulty focusing and concentrating. And this is because the neurobiology of depression has kind of seized their little bodies in these four particular areas.
Deborah, we're going to have to take a break now. And we're talking with Dr. Deborah Serrani, Dr. Deborah Serrani, Depression and Your Child. Joe?
This is Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most.
Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Deborah Serrani is a licensed psychologist in practice for over 20 years. She's also an adjunct professor at Adelphi University and author of the award-winning book, Living with Depression. Her latest book is called Depression and Your Child. It's a guide for parents and caregivers, and it's published by Roman and Littlefield Publishing Group. And let's go back now to Dr. Mike Roizen.
And where we were with Deborah was asking about the symptoms that parents have to figure out what is going on with the child, whether they have something. And first of all, Deborah, I skipped part of the question, which was, who do you take your child too, when they exhibit any of these behavioral or cognitive or physical or any of the other things you're going to get into. You started talking to us about cognitive problems as well as the physical problems. Physical was both stomach ache and physical in that way, as well as boredom and tiredness. But the email that came back on that was, who do I take the child to?
That's a great question. And the first stop always is to the child's pediatrician, because there are so many medical conditions that can look like depression. So we want to make sure that if parents see any of these behavioral symptoms, physical, et cetera, just call your pediatrician, say, I have some concerns, and together they'll do full exam, medical checkup, you know, urine and blood work, and just to make sure nothing medical is going on. And then from there, you'll get a referral to a mental health specialist who's hopefully in the area that you live in, specializes in mood disorders, and then you'll get on your way.
So the first thing we had was the physical. What are the cognitive? We started in on cognitive. You said there were four areas that were spotting, and the second one was cognitive. Tell us more about that.
Right. The cognitive changes are what we often see as negative self-talk in children. Children will say things like, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, it'd be better without me around, you shouldn't have had me. This is where guilt and shame kind of start really pressing on a child. And sometimes kids can have what we call a foggy kind of thinking, where the depression is so dulling to their ability to focus and work at school. So sometimes they can have learning problems. So, you know, depression affects a child's, you know, emotional level and physical level. And making sure we can get in there early can offset the trajectory of this illness.
Now, you said there were two other symptom complexes other than cognitive and physical. What are those?
There's behavioral changes where children will be very clingy, or they'll be just the opposite, very isolating, and they'll withdraw. They can be very restless. Some kids self-harm because they can't make sense of these feelings that they feel. And then there's emotional changes. This is the mood aspect of the depression, where kids lose interest, they can get bored, they can be sad. So it's these four areas that parents can keep an eye on. And the diagnosis needs to have at least 2 weeks of these set of behaviors going on. Because remember, you know, you can be sad and restless and bored, you know, a couple of days a week. That's part of the human experience. But when something is of long duration, that generally means that there's some type of underlying issue going on.
Now, most children don't admit, I assume, don't admit suicide thoughts.
That's right.
Or do they? They would act it out before they'd admit they were having suicidal thoughts. What do you do, or is there, are these four things strong enough to spot this beforehand? But suicide is still a major problem in kids and teenagers. Is that right?
That's true. It's the third leading cause of death in adolescents, and it's a preventable death. Most children will have what's called a masked depression. They hide behind the terrible negativity and sadness that they feel, and they present outwardly almost as if everything is fine. Those are very tough cases to spot. But when children start to use this negative talk, when you hear them saying, you know, I'm stupid, I'm bad, you'd be better off without me, there are some signs if you see children giving toys away you know, perhaps cleaning their rooms or making sure everything is in order because they're not planning to be here anymore. There are signs and symptoms that parents can be aware of, and it's any time a parent can feel any sense of worry, they should go to the pediatrician and ask questions. The pediatrician is a great first stop for a lot of these things.
And the one of the persons actually beforehand was saying, what happened to my pediatrician? And this is that question I got before we were on the air, is my pediatrician doesn't seem to think it's anything and has just given my son a stimulant. What about these recent episodes in both California and in Connecticut of the child who was under some form of mental health therapy and then did harm to, in one case, an 87-year-old woman in a nursing home, and in another case, this girl who was turned him down to go to the prom. Are these likely related to it, or what do we do about that?
Well, I think it's very important for any listener out there, any concerned parent, to understand that 1% of those who have mental illness are the news grabbers, the headline grabbers. 99% of children and adults who live with a mental illness never are violent. In fact, they can lead very healthy, meaningful lives. These cases generally have multi-determining factors. It may be a combination of misuse of stimulant or antidepressant meds, poor follow-through with treatment. You know, there are generally a lot of gaps that cause these kinds of terrible news lines.
And so it's a small number, but obviously they grab a lot of attention in the news. Do you think this is becoming more common, or is it just more commonly diagnosed? That is, did we have this all of the century, and we just are waking up to it, or we're going to have you do a 30-second answer to that, Deborah?
Actually, we're seeing a rise in a lot of mental health issues. They double about every 10 years.
Joe?
That's Dr. Deborah Serrani, our guest in this segment. Thanks for listening. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.